signal you are receiving is coming from deep inside of FEMA Region 1, well within the battle lines of the municipal corporation known as the Commonwealth of Taxachusetts, radiating out to the darkest corners of Al Gore's internet from our secret broadcast bunker, cleverly disguised as a middle-class living room. This is Red Pill Politics.
And I guess I'll just break back in. And, I don't have Dave's exact, sequence on his break-ins to the breaks and everything else like that. Sam, I do appreciate you letting us talk and converse. You know, this is our RBN family. You know, I appreciate all y'all out there. You know, it's I gave my number out. I would love to talk to any of y'all out there who want to talk about pertinent things. You know, Lynn, definitely, she's the one who, you know, brought me to put my phone number out on the air. And I'll be with you again in another 10 hours here. But, you know, my friend Andy, my friend Mike out here, talked to him many hours on the phone, never met him, never shook their hand. But, you know, a lot of us out there, we see what's going on. We understand to a certain point as much as we can because we do use our own brains, you know. And my friend Dave Kopeck out there, you know, he's out in the middle of the mountains somewhere. He said he couldn't have, you know, reliable cell service or anything like that. Dave's not in trouble. Dave's not gone. He'll be back with you next week. And I do appreciate my friend Dave entrusting his program to me and what I might want to talk about, and what my friend Andy, my friend Mike, our friend Lynn, and whoever else calls in. I appreciate it so much that he would entrust, you know, his 2 hours of the week, you know, which, you know, 2 hours out of a week does not sound like a lot. You know, Steve and I have been doing this, you know, for more than 7 years, you know, in RBN. John Stepmiller, you know, apparently, you know, taught that, you know, a perspective, you know, a different perspective. You know, we're not Trump fans, we're not Biden fans, we're not anything, we're not anyone fans except for your own intelligence, your own thinking process. You know, that's what I like to hear. I like to hear and converse with people that think, who have their own brains. You know, we might have different perspectives on things, but, you know, if we do have different perspectives, does not mean we don't have to be enemies, you know. We need to, you know, if you don't leave your mind open, if you shut your mind off, if you say, I figured out the truth, and that's it, you know, Trump is the orange god going to come trying to, you know, swinging through the trees on the back of an orangutan, you know, and he's going to save us. I'm sorry, but that just is not true. The way that I perceive things does not mean that we cannot have a conversation about things. You know, I don't like just sitting here on the radio talking to myself, by myself, telling you who I am and what I think the truth is. I like different perspectives. I love Andy. I mean, Andy, he's not a rich man. Doesn't live in a palace, doesn't live in a castle. Mike lives in Kentucky. Went through Kentucky a couple of times, you know. I've got friends, you know, Dave Kopeck, you know, lives up in frickin' Massachusetts. Never been there. I've got friends that are in Idaho, Montana. You know, different people I talk to, different perspectives, different parts of the world, different ways of think, you know, that we view things. I have seen my town, which used to be a very beautiful, just very quaint, comfortable Germanic community. My relatives came over here in the 1830s, left Germany, left the hell. They'd always been under a king, always been told it's like, you know, your government tells you who your enemy is. You're going to go fight. If you don't go fight, we're going to take everything you have. And it's like, well, even if you go fight, we're going to take everything you have. You know, they left that to try to find freedom and some individuality in their lifetime, you know, in their lifestyle. Never wanted to hurt anyone else. They moved here, and it's all changed. Since I've moved here, and I've been here for 18 years, when I moved back, it was still basically the same small, close-knit Germanic community, where when I walked down Main Street, I would still know 75% of the people, or be related to, either through marriage or blood, of the people that I met on the street. To now, I walk down Main Street, and there are people from San Francisco that know more people than I do. I've seen this whole world get turned upside down and twisty-turvy, and I'm sorry, I don't like it, people. You know, not saying that people from San Francisco can't be good people, but they bring their damn same crap that they voted for, that they presented. You know, they move here to this nice, quaint little community, and they turn it into the same shithole that they left. And that's what I do not like. Anyone else? Break in.
What was the population of that county 20 years ago?
Yeah, yes, I can, Sam. Who else we got?
Well, you got Andy and you got Mike.
Hello?
Okay.
Mike's chiming in.
Hey, Mike. Yeah. We got some other callers in here, Mike. I can't what? Really hear Sam. Over the phone, he said we have some other callers. Mike, go ahead and finish out, and we'll bring some other callers on.
I was just going to ask you, what was the population of that county 20 years ago, do you know, compared to now?
Well, in the city, it was about 8,000 people, 8,900, something like that, something like that. And most of them were my relatives, one way or another.
And now what is it?
Actually, now it's probably about 12,000, but that's just within the city limits. Well, no, actually, within the city limits, it's probably dropped, because most of the places in the city limits now are either non-resident owners or bed and breakfasts.
But it's a nice idea that you know everybody, but I've known that for some time in this county. We know our people we went through school with, you know, every day you saw the roll call, you know, 30, 40 people.
Yeah.
And through whatever, 12 years of school or more, you learned all them. You maybe learned some of their brothers and different grades and stuff like that. But when it comes down to it, you recognize faces.
Well,
but you don't really know.
12 years of school was a waste of time. 12 years of school was a waste of time.
Well, that's not what I missed. I'm getting
reading,
talking
writing,
about
arithmetic facial. Was awesome, but the rest of school was screwed.
Right. Well, what I'm talking about is knowing people. I'm not talking about how
absolutely,
worthless
there
school
you go.
Is.
Absolutely. Right. You're right.
Well,
I'm
the subject
right.
that I'm getting okay. at is you really can't know. In a county of where I'm at, it went from, like, I don't know, 18,000 to 25,000 in the last 20-some years.
Yeah.
And the towns, for years, it still had 1,700 as a population sign, but that was from 1975.
Oh,
so, yeah, the sign stayed up for years. It says, you know, Moorhead population 1,700. They finally pulled it down. I really don't know what the actual population is. It's probably less than 3,000, but I can't possibly know all those people. I mean, I probably know a few hundred.
Mike, out here in Texas, counties are probably a little bit bigger than they are in Kentucky.
Oh, I know that. I mean, they're square miles. They are way bigger.
Yeah.
There's a Williamson County, Texas. It's probably four times bigger than this county. We're like 128 square miles or something.
Hey, Mike, you know, I hate to cut you off, but...
That's all right, man.
I've had Sam whisper in my ear, Mike. Callers, and,
for real, bro.
I do love talking with you, Mike, and we will talk again, my friend. And with that, Sam, I don't know... bring our next caller in.
Let's go.
Doug in Texas. Okay.
Doug in Texas.
Hello.
Hello, Doug. Are you there?
Can you hear me?
We can.
Oh, this is Chance, Alan.
Oh.
Ruh-ro, you know this guy.
Okay.
Hey, guys. Alan, I love you like a brother, but let me tell you something. You got to stop the depressing talk about putting a bullet in your head. Let me tell you something, Alan. I don't like to hear that kind of talk, all right? I really don't. Now, you know my situation. I survived cancer, which should have took me, and that was one of the easiest things I dealt with, believe it or not. I don't like to hear this talk. If a bullet should happen to go into my brain, it's going to be somebody who tries to put it there, and it ain't going to be me. You know, Alan, I realize you're lonely. We're all lonely. Everybody listening to this show tonight is lonely. We're all lonely just by the virtue of how we see things, okay? So therefore, I hope I'm not embarrassing. I'm not trying to embarrass you, Al. I'm just trying to
wisen
you up a bit. You hear me now?
Yeah. No, Chance, I've got a thick skin, you know, but I also... my skin is not so thick that things don't affect me, you know.
Alan, I realize that we all are, okay? Like I just told you, I beat a life-threatening cancer. I beat the odds. And that was the easiest thing I dealt with in my life, believe it or not, as painful as it was. So therefore, I mean, we are all lonely. Everybody listening to this show is probably lonely, just like I said, just by virtue of how we're aware of things and you can't communicate to people. That's loneliness supreme right there. So please, Alan, don't make those comments.
Chance, I hate to do that, but, you know, I am who I am. I'm as honest as I can be.
I know you are.
You know, folks. You know, if RBN is kind of like one of your lifelines, kind of like it is for me. You know, being able to talk with people like Chance and Andy. You know, donate to RBN. You know, John Stettmiller. You know, I met John Stettmiller. I was at his house twice. You know, I met his wife Sandy. You know, both of them. You know,
Alan, can I interrupt you for a minute? Tragedies in my life, and God knows I've been through so many. Like I said, cancer was the easiest, okay? They have only made me stronger, believe it or not. When I tell people who don't understand, I tell them that cancer was the easiest thing I dealt with. They can't understand that because right away they see death. They see, they panic. But I've been there, and like I said, when you say things, and I've even talked to Andy about this, when you start getting depressed, it bothers me because I don't like to see that in people. I don't like to see the weakness in people because I've been there, okay? And if I can do it, come on now. I mean, really,
hey,
Alan.
Hey, Chance, you're going somewhere real quick here. What you're doing is you're trying to tell him to beef up, just like I'm telling myself to beef up, and he's doing it every time he looks in the mirror. Beef up. God bless it. We got to do this thing. You know what I'm saying? I got to get through this. And you know what? Chance, I love the fact everybody should be concerned about other people on this network because we're all a family and stuff. And you're doing something awesome for Alan, but Alan has got his own challenges here, and he can speak for himself.
I realize that we all do.
Hey, check this out. No Chance. I'll finish with this. There's no chance he's putting a bullet in his head unless somebody's flipping trying to do
it for him
first.
I know, but I just don't even like to hear that. I don't even like to hear that kind of talk.
Yeah.
I don't even like to hear that kind of talk, especially with people I care about.
I get it.
It bothers me because, I mean, I've been up and down and over and around, my God. But yet, I wouldn't even entertain that thought. And when somebody I care about talks like that, it bothers me. I couldn't give a crap if it was anybody else who I didn't care about. Believe me, I wouldn't even bring it up. But, I mean, Alan, don't do me a favor. Don't say that anymore. Man, you've got value. You've got value to your friends, to your listeners. I mean, really now, I hate it when you
on this venue. I do, Chance. You know, you've told me about, you know, you've got a river right down in front of your house, you know, and you can go down and do that. It's like, you know, I moved back here to my family land and everything, But, you know, it's not what I grew up with. You know, you said, man, you've got a river right down, you know, you can walk, a half mile, a mile down to your down to this place, and you've got a river,
about a quarter mile.
You know,
the river's only a quarter mile.
Around me, I'm living in the middle of goddamn San Francisco now. These family ranches have been bought up by people from San Francisco, and San Francisco is what I live in now.
All right, but Alan, Alan, when I go to my county seat, which is only 7 miles from me, right? Don't you think I see the same crap? It was voted America's coolest small town, Lewisburg, West Virginia, right?
Lewis.
I mean,
I've never been on the East Coast.
Well, let me tell you, it's a yuppie town just like Fredericksburg is. Art galleries, wine tasting shops, liberal attitude. But, you know, now,
San Francisco on the East Coast.
Yeah, I mean, we've got every state has these crazy liberal towns. We have ours here too, but where I live, the people aren't like that. But I'm only 7 miles away from the county seat. But Alan, don't let this shit get to you. Now, I know it's easier said than done because you feel isolated, you feel lonely, of course. But let me tell you something, Alan. Every one of the listeners listening tonight are in the same boat. You are in, I am in. Emotion. You know what I mean? We all are in the same boat. But I hate, you know what I hate? I hate weakness in people. If I sense weakness, it really, really bothers me. Now, I'm not saying you're weak, but when you make those comments, putting a bullet in there, I mean, that turns me off. And I've spoke to Andy about this on the phone about that.
Let me correct you to a slight degree here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, RBN is my strength.
Great question.
My friends, Andy, you, everyone else out there listening, you are my strength. You know, my weakness comes from my interpersonal connections. My family, who Chance, unfortunately, Chance, my family is dead to me, but they're still freaking alive, okay? Do you know how hard that is?
Well, let me tell you something. All my family is gone, and they all love me, okay?
Family thinks I'm a crazy piece of shit.
But, Alan, the point is this. The fact is, whether they're physically alive or not, they're gone, okay? You have to make peace with that.
I'm going in Monday or Tuesday of next week, and I'm having my whole will redrawn, and I'm still debating as to whether I'm going to give my whole inheritance over to NAMBLA or to my one young cousin who I really love.
Hey, listen, you get a kick out of this. I told Andy this. Last Monday, 4 or 5 days ago, was my late mama's birthday. You know what I did?
Yeah.
I sat and drank beer and listened to 60s and 70s. I have an enormous music collection. I sat and listened to 60s and 70s music all night and drank beer because that was the happiest time of my life. I was a little boy growing up. My mama was there. Yeah, now I know a lot of people. Listen, I know a lot of people would sit there and laugh at that, but I don't give a shit.
I want to make the deal I made with you earlier. Look, Chance is going here somewhere because back in the 60s or the 50s and 60s and stuff, what were we singing about? All the songs were about peace and joy and let's get on with our business and love and whatnot.
Let me tell you this straight up, all right? Tax appraised value on my land that I'm sitting on right now. Right now, I never thought I would be worth like $4.5 million minimum. Okay, that's not market value. Market value.
Alan,
I might be worth $15 million.
Alan,
dollars. All right,
Alan, I would
sell my property.
I would keep that quiet because every woman at Gillespie County will be at your front door if you keep talking like that.
You
I
just
mean,
gave your phone number and
if they came, up my drive, I would fucking shoot at them because I've got a sign on my front door. I've got a sign that says no trespassing. Are you going to listen to me in English or do I have to speak to you in 12 gauge?
Well, Alan, the point I'm making is, Alan, the point I called is this. I talked to Andy about this. I don't like to see you make comments like that because I care about you. And like I said to Andy before earlier, I was born in 1960.
I'm not telling anyone to take their own life. But
well,
God,
you were talking about yourself, though, brother. You were talking about
that. That never Alan, that never came up, Chief. That never came up.
Well, you said I would put a bullet in my head. I don't like to hear talk like that. Really, I don't. Like I said, if a bullet goes in my head, it's going to be some son of a bitch who tries to kill me, and I'm going to defend myself. I certainly am not going to interfere.
The only ones.
Let me get back to the point, if you don't mind, Alan. Me and Andy were talking earlier. I was born in 1960, so I grew up on music. Where, and I told Andy this earlier, rhythm and soul, R&B, rock bands, no matter what color, black or white, there was plenty of songs that talk about freedom, love for each other, stop the war. And I said to Andy, I said, because I have an enormous music collection, okay? And like I said, people were truly undivided to a large degree. Black, white, R&B, rhythm and soul, rock bands. They sang about peace, stop the damn war, love each other. And
Either you're going to go to church or you're going to go to hell or go to work or you're going to go to jail.
That's
a country song from Lawrence.
Yes, but listen to the shit we've been listening to for the last 30 years. I mean, you don't hear anybody. They all talk about, tolerate this, tolerate that. How much can they tolerate if they tolerate war, if they tolerate what's going on? Think about it. These people are so damn phony,
Chance, they got us stuck on the music. And then they changed the music, and then they put people in position where they could get their message across, just like they did with TV commercials, just like they did with TV programming, just like they did with everything, just the shows, the CSIs and all that stuff. It was all TV programming.
Well, the point I'm making is this.
Has blown the whole thing up.
Listen, the point I'm making is this. The change in people in my lifetime, okay, regardless of how you look at them, long-haired hippies are... Now, I'm sure there were some.
Came in, people changed, did they not?
Yeah, well, of course, because they became drones. They became like Bob Seger says, just another drone. They became unthinking, unfeeling.
Chance, do you know how badly I wish I could, take... eat some mushrooms and go to a Grateful Dead concert and have a great fucking time.
I want to go
and
too.
Really
hey, listen, Alan, I did.
Just really enjoy being around people.
Alan. Yes,
Alan, I did all that. I grew up outside.
So did I. Good or bad? No.
No. I grew up right outside of Manhattan.
It gives you a different way of looking at things. Eating a couple of fresh mushrooms and going to see a Grateful Dead concert or something like that.
Yes.
Everyone says, oh, you're evil for doing that. But no.
Now, Alan, I fulfilled those dreams.
Perspective on life.
Listen, now you couldn't give me $1 million to go to the city now, okay? I moved here, 14 years ago.
You couldn't have paid me $1 million back in 1980 to go to a big city. I've never been a big city boy.
I grew up right outside of Manhattan. I grew up right across the river from Manhattan. You know how many times I've been to Madison Square Garden? I've been to so many concerts. I fulfilled.
I'm so sorry for you, Chance. I'm sorry for you.
No, it was good back then. In the 60s and 70s, it was good. It was... Now you couldn't put $1 million in front of me. I wouldn't even go to a big city. I wouldn't even go to a big city in West Virginia here, as a matter of fact. You wouldn't catch me set foot.
Let me tell you about this. The first Grateful Dead concert I went to was at Oklahoma City at the Zoo Amphitheater. And while the Grateful Dead were playing, there was elephants and giraffes and rhinoceroses and all kinds of shit making noises in the background. You know,
yep.
That was what life
used to be.
You know,
that's
the greatest thing.
The point I'm making is this. It ties back to I have, even though all my family has passed, I have happy memories, okay? I'm sure you have happy memories. People listening have happy memories. I cling to those happy memories because that's all I got left.
My grandfather, who was born in 1895, who I wish I would have known how to speak to him, because my grandfather used to ask me all these questions, and I didn't know what he was talking about. But
my grandpa was asking me very pointed things.
Because I was brought up in the world of total mind control shit. My grandfather was born in 1895. I wish he was around now because I'd say Opa, which is
that's what I call my grandpa too.
I would say, Opa, tell me what's going on.
See, Alan, even my daddy didn't come to this country till 1952 when he was 15 years old. So my grandparents, they were all Eastern Europeans, and my mama's side was from Italy.
I have relatives who were actually captured by the Comanches and the Apaches.
Wow, you go real back. See, I'm a newbie.
1830s, yes, 1830s.
Yeah, I'm a first generation in my family here. Well, my cousin is a little older than me, but I'm the first generation here. From my family
let me just say this. We're coming up on another break here, and I appreciate Sam for letting us go through so many breaks here, you know, and I appreciate Dave Kopeck for letting us have a show tonight, you know. Chance, we can and we will continue these talks. I don't know if there's any other callers coming on.
Alan, do me a favor. Not
that I want to get rid of you, Chance, but I love talking with you.
I don't want to be a hog. I know there's other people waiting, but do me a favor. Please don't talk depressing as well when it comes to yourself anymore, okay?
Call in tomorrow morning on the show. How about that?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to drink some beer tonight. I don't know if I'm going to be up that early, my friend. But I will certainly try. Alan and Andy, God bless both of you now, and be well, okay?
God bless you. God bless you, my friend.
Chance is one of those friends of mine who is like half a continent away from me, who was closer to me than my family and my brothers that I grew up with. Is it worse to have the people that you grew up with who are dead to you that are not actually dead? I mean, I hate to sound so negative, people, but, you know, is it better or is it worse? You know, to have the people that you love still be alive, breathing air around you.
Don't dwell on it, Alan. That's all I can say. Now, peace, brother. Now, both of you guys. Good night. Now,
love you. Love you, Chance. Take care,
bro. Love you, Chance. Thank you, my friend. Chance is my friend. Thank you. Yes.
Hey, so Alan, we got just a few seconds here. I just want to say this. I love you, man. To be honest with you, I really do, because there's no other people in the world. You know, once you lose everything that you have and you find people that are iconic to the way you survive in your life because of the information that's presented and we talk and we're able to reason and stuff, there's no doubt you're part of my family. So
and
we'll go to that commercial,
we've got the,
I reckon.
The bottom of the hour break. Man, Sam, I appreciate you so much for letting us go through these breaks. I understand we have a caller coming up afterwards, so we'll talk to you folks after the break here. But it came down
to you. When I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth. American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the Internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Hello, I'm Peter Serafine, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Howdy, folks. How y'all doing here? I won't even try to imitate Dave's voice. Dave is a great guy, and I appreciate him. Instead of doing a replay, I appreciate him calling me up last night and saying, hey, would you take my show for me and do it? You know, I appreciate the confidence that he has with me. You know, him and me, we've got a lot in common. You know, did some scientific research, some environmental research. You know, he actually knows what the word limnology means. Dave's not gone forever. Hopefully, he'll be back next week. He just got kind of tied up this weekend. He's up in the mountains somewhere and didn't have a signal connectivity. And actually, when I talked to him, I said, you know, that's actually kind of, you know, I think that's kind of calming, you know, that you can actually find some place where there is not connectivity anymore, you know, because we pretty much live in a digital nightmare, folks. You know, I don't know, we had Chance come on and talk about me saying, you know, stop putting a bullet in my head, but, you know, literally, you folks, y'all are my family. You know, you've heard me for, you know, I've been on RBN for, 7 years plus, you know, on Sunday mornings. And, you know, Dave is one of the guys, Mr. Kopeck. Yeah, I will call you Mr. Kopeck because I do respect the man. You know, he's a good man. He comes up here and he tries to tell you what's going on, his experiences, everything else, kind of like I do. And my friend Andy on here and our friend's Chance. And I think Sam whispered in my ear that Lynn might be back. You know, Andy, you have anything to add to this before we bring our next caller on?
Well, hang on, Lynn.
Let Andy talk for a second.
Yeah. No. No disrespect to nobody here. I'm happy to hear anybody's opinion in here. But I would really like to hear what are they doing about what is really pissing them off right now. So, Lynn, if you're calling back right now and you are here, tell us what you're doing to fight back from everything that pisses you off.
I'm listening to you guys. And I was actually thinking that I think that took a lot of courage for Alan to say how he was feeling. And I'll put in my public service announcement. If anybody really is suicidal, they need to tell a friend. Or they need to call the crisis hotline 988.
Lynn, stop. Alan is not suicidal. He's metaphorically speaking.
I knew that because, one, you wouldn't want to give the Democrats fodder for getting rid of guns. Because that's what would happen with that.
Serious, but he's metaphorically speaking, no doubt about it.
No, but when somebody says something like that, a lot of times it's because they're expressing how
they
feel.
That's good. That alerts people that there are people that are like, you know what, I can't take this anymore. That kind of alerts people to that. I can't take that anymore kind of attitude.
Well, I'm sorry he can't take that anymore, but maybe he could spend some time in 12-step meetings and he'd get used to just sitting there and listening.
Oh, there's a 12-step school?
Everywhere on the whole planet. It's kind of like cell phones.
12 steps.
RBN has been my 10 or 12 or however many.
I'm not recommending 12-step programs.
It has been my process. Y'all help me keep my sanity. Y'all are the only thing. Seriously, you people out there are my friends. You are my family.
Yes, and so. You know, nobody wants you to hurt yourself, but nobody wants to shut you up either. You know, we're not about
Lynn,
the cancel culture.
Oh, but there's probably quite a few people who would like to shut us up, but
I refuse to do that.
You know, I've lost my friends.
Don't sell
I've lost
that
my
Lynn,
family. I've lost basically everything I know
worth.
Except for my dog, you know, because my dog, my deer, my chickens, well, I lost my chickens in the drought.
How wonderful where you live. What a blessing. What a blessing.
Oh,
now all you have to
Come
do
on,
is
Lynn,
get your mom to teach you how to
desk.
Quilt.
my mother does quilt, and I do kind of know how to quilt, but my mother's much better at it than I am. But, you know, my mother and I, she's the only other person that I know who does not have an internet connection and does not have a smartphone. But you know, her other 90-year-old friends
make a log cabin quilt.
Her other 90-year-old friends, they have smartphones. And I said, "Hey, Mom," I said, "What goes on?" And she said, "Well, when we're in there quilting, you know, it's like they'll have their smartphone sitting on the table next to them, and we might be talking, and the smartphone rings, and they'll just pick it up and answer it. They won't say, 'Excuse me, I have to take this call.' They'll just pick it up and answer it." And I said, "Mom, don't you find that rude?" And she said, "Yes."
Young people, it's having just as bad effect on the old people, and it's brainwashing them. Actually, you know,
ma'am.
There is a good Christian radio station in North or South Carolina, but I listen to it by phone. So when I call you, I'll give you the telephone number to listen. And it's not modern Christian music; it's like old hymns and their Bible studies. And there's a classic books reading the 15 minutes a day, and it's a nice station. I'll give you the telephone number, and you can call from
hey,
any.
Lynn,
I'm gonna let you
Lynn,
go.
You got 512-248-8252. You need to call in tomorrow morning between 8 and 10 Central Time.
Okay. All right. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Lynn.
Night. And I look forward to hearing
you
in the morning.
Yes, come on the phone. Let's talk.
Okay.
You know, see, Andy, it's people like that, you know, that I love. This is my RBN family, you know, which is more of a family than my family that I'm actually in physical contact, if you want to call that, with, because people that keep their minds open, it's because you know, because my experiences, I'm sorry, I don't choose to call myself a Christian, because, you know, and they say, oh, you don't call yourself a Christian, you're a terrible person. And it's like, no, but I live my life more like Christian principles than anyone else around me that I know, but you don't call yourself a Christian, so you're going to hell. And I'm like, that just confuses the shit out of me. I'm sorry.
Well, but you know, Ellen, you know, really what we need to call ourselves is life. Because what do we call a tree? We call it a tree. We named it. But it's still life. What do we call a vegetable that's growing? It's life. So we are just part of life. They've labeled us. They've turned us into a different species than we are. And that's how we got caught up in this societal thing.
Andy, I'm a vegan. I don't believe in killing anything, but, you know, before I eat it. It's like, well, do you not understand that plants are alive, too? There are two kingdoms in the world. There's the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom. And when you you eat a plant, you're killing something that was alive or used to be alive.
It's given its life for your beneficial. I mean, like broccoli, for God's sakes, broccoli grows? Yeah, no. First and foremost, every vegetable and everything that we have that we've made seeds from and stuff and that we're still growing in our garden.
It has a life force. What do you think it transfers to you when you eat a plant?
It does, but its process of its life is better for our life, and so we take it. And so everything is here on this planet that we deserve to have and we should have for nutrition and stuff, and everything that they could possibly be manipulated by these idiots in charge of this planet has been manipulated to the point where they're trying to get rid of carbon, and we're carbon-based people, and so is the broccoli, is the tomatoes. So everything is carbon-based here, and they want to get rid of it. So that leads to a question,
Have you not heard, you know, we hear about these things all the time where you know, these guys, I can't remember their names, you know, they go onto college campuses and they ask, you know, college people, you know, going to college or college graduates, you know, going to graduate school, you know, it's like, where's the Great Wall of China? And they'll say, Japan? You know, where was the Vietnam War fought? England? You know?
Where's the Panama Canal at?
Exactly. where's the Panama Canal at? Nicaragua?
Somewhere in that neighborhood, right?
You know, and Andy, it is not their fault in particular. It is the manipulation and the malicious manipulation. I mean, you know, people are freaking more. I'm tired of going out into society, Andy, and trying to talk with people, and they can't talk behind. They can't talk more than it's like, well, the fluff in my dryer vent told me that this was the truth. You know, it's like, what? You know?
Well, you know, I'm gonna kind of take a Lauren stand here, because it's not really society's fault. It's our fault for letting society do this to us.
It's like the show before us, Andy.
They
said it's not necessarily the children's fault. It's the parents who have been brought into this crap, who have been trained not to teach their children what the truth is. You know,
it's gone
way beyond the 60s, like parents teach your children well, you know?
Yeah.
It's gone way beyond
that. Whitney Houston had a song about that, teach the children well and let them lead the way. And we have farly left from that kind of beautiful music. I loved Whitney Houston. What a great song and whatnot. But the thing is that we have totally misled our children, and we as children were misled. And then we find out, you and me, as we grew up and matured, we found out some shit.
You do understand that Whitney Houston was a nigger, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's what they call her, right?
Whitney Houston was a nigger. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the end result after they killed her.
Goddamn words that don't mean a damn thing.
No, I agree with you. Yeah, and that's the thing. You said those words, and I said a word, and people are going to be offended tonight, and they're probably going to call RBN and go, hey, why did you let this happen?
Andy, when I called you earlier, you were over across the street playing pool with a bunch of wetbacks, right? No, oh, no, they were Mexican people. No,
they were black folks.
Does a word mean anything? Well, in today's world,
no, it doesn't.
But
we've made it.
I'm going to have to throw in a jail because you hurt my feelings.
Yes, society made certain words sensitive.
And it's not bad, right? Oh, right, yeah.
Well, and how? Hey, did you hurt me? Maybe I'm a black guy and you're talking to me right now, Alan, and you called me a nigger. Did that hurt me? No, it only hurt me because I got a stereotype behind that word.
Andy has told me he has a big nose, and I've said, well, that means you're a Jew, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt me anymore. I already went through that as a kid, so it's cool. No, see, that's the thing, is that words shouldn't be offensive, and
words should never hurt me.
Yeah, but society made words. I mean, if I called somebody a nigger, and I know we've said that many times, and I'm not sure that's going to be cool here, but if I call somebody that word, they're going to be offended, and therefore there could be a hate speech. In this liberal world that we live in, that could be hate speech.
And
technically, we could be arrested right now because we said it like five times.
Andy. Was that with an E-R on the end of that word or an A on the end of that word? Because apparently if you say nigga, it's not bad. But if you say nigger,
oh, wait
bad.
A minute. I almost got my ass kicked one time saying nigga. I owned a bar. It was a black bar. And I said, you know my niggas.
World.
And they all looked at me like, what? You a white boy. Shut the hell up.
People, this whole world has been turned and weaponized against us. The world we
Words are weaponized now. It's flipping crazy. I wanted to say the other F word, but I've been censored because of my own. I don't want to say the word because I don't want to offend nobody, but we've already said so many of them.
Hey,
we've been
censored. Someone calls me a honky? Am I supposed to be call me a honky?
Oh, I'm a cracker.
I'm
a cracker.
Call me something else. It's like, I'll laugh at you. But if I'll call you a nigger? It's like
they're gonna bring a knife out or a gun and cap your ass.
Call you a nigger. If I call you a nigger, I'm a bad person. Why?
Yeah, but it's just a word, and nobody should really be offended by it. But because it is a trigger mechanism, people are triggered by it. And that's why we have these racial wars or whatever. And really, you know, check this out. You got to believe this one. A 1967 version of the Webster Dictionary, a nigger was an ignorant person who knew what he was supposed to be doing, but he still did it his own way. It doesn't matter what color you are. I called my kids niggers because they wouldn't pick up and do the stuff they knew they had to do, their chores and stuff. I did that because I wanted to desensitize them then. And guess what? We had plenty of black folk and plenty of Hispanic folk and plenty of every different, whoever my son made friends with or whatnot, or whoever he was associating with in sports and stuff, these people came to my house. And I didn't call nobody at the N-word. Oh, I went
instead of saying it. Let me tell you this. Do you remember, most of you who are kind of our age, you know, you've heard the term pickaninny, right? And supposedly that's a really bad term, you know, for a black person.
Or a perch monkey, folks, for that matter.
But you know, folks, the weird television I get, I've actually, and this is when I had a television station out of the Ivory Coast, which is over in, like, Central Africa, you know, the deep, dark jungle over there, all right? And lo and behold, it was in English, and they started singing this song, and it's like, mothers, keep your babies safe and your pickings too. So you know, pickin' was a name for a little black baby. Pickin' this is in their own damn language. Keep your pickings safe too, okay? So maybe pickin' any. I have no idea what the ninny means on the end of it, but a pickin was a little baby child. Okay? You know, this is where words, and they have how they weaponize words. It's like, well, are you really racist, or are you saying, there's a Shirley Temple movie called The Little General, where the big plantation owner comes riding up, and he says, hey, you climb on the horse and throw your little pickaninny in the wagon, and we'll pull her behind us on the horse, you know, going back to the house. Yeah. This is a Shirley Temple movie from back in the 40s or 50s, you know?
Yes.
It was called The Little General, you know? And they actually used the term, put your little pickaninny in the wagon, and we'll pull her behind us, you know? But you know, the black people actually called their little baby children pickins.
Pickins. Yeah, so, no, on the same token, so let me go here, because I use the N-word, nigger, whatever. I use that several times tonight, but check this out. So across the street of this pool hall, I hang out with black folks.
Eisenhower had
I don't call them niggers.
Back.
Well, check this operation out. Check this out. So so I play pool with these people across the hall. They call me nigger more times than I've never even said nigger, because, you know, I'm sensitive to it. But check this out. And then on the same token, my boss is a Mexican. The people I associate when I go to work every day is Mexicans. So me saying the nigger word or whatever that word is that really offends people, how is that really offensive to anybody, anywhere, anytime, when I'm already associated with people that I'm supposed to be prejudiced against?
When I was working for Goodyear in the recap division, I talked to guys every day on the phone, and one guy he called himself Chico, and I said, hey, pinche mujao. And if you understand Mexican slang, you understand what that means. It's like, didn't piss him off in the least. We played with each other, you know? It's like, hey, pinchy mahal. This is the end of the program. Pinchy mahal, folks, is fucking wetback, okay? Pinchy mahal. Pinchy is the F word, and mahal is wetback, you know?
Let me say something because
we were friends, and we played with each other. We thought the whole thing was this silly bullshit.
Yeah, because none of this stuff made sense back when we were kids, but now all of a sudden it's something big in the society that these people have raised up. And guess who the people are doing that? The government and your TV. And guess who runs your TV? The government. It's called the CIA, people. No, on the end note here, because you got to finish this show up, thank you so much for letting me be here, and thank you, Mr. Dave Kopak, because... yeah, you do have a wonderful show. I hope we did you some justice, and I love you, Alan. You take care of yourself, and you finish up the show. I'll let you go here, babe. Let's go.
And thank you for being there, my friend Andy. You know, Andy says, I've got a great big nose, and I said, well, have you ever been accused of being a Jew? And we, you know, we make fun of all this crap because we look, if you want to call it MLK, I look for the character of the person, not for the color of his skin or anything else. You know, his upbringing, where he came from. My RBN family out here, you know, we're not, you know, we see the war against the white people. Yes, we see this. But are we white supremacists? Are we racist? You know, I've actually been around people, folks, that were white supremacists. I mean, guys with, like, frickin' swastikas tattooed on their damn shaved heads, you know, in the Ozark Mountains up there. I have been around some of these people. Freaking freaked me out, you know. I actually met the Grand Wizard of the KKK. He lived in Harrison, Arkansas, okay? A friend of mine, you know, took his daughter up there. Well, it was kind of his stepdaughter, and she was of Japanese origin. Took her up there to meet this guy so she could meet this guy, and she wrote a report for her high school class. Okay? And this guy didn't, you know, when this little Japanese girl came up there and started asking her questions, he didn't, like, pull out a Luger and shoot her in the head or, you know, or anything else. It's like he talked to her about what was going on, about the mind manipulation. What was he, a white supremacist? Yeah. But, you know, if you left him alone, and didn't try to force your crap on them. He was a great person. I actually met the freaking Grand Wizard of the KKK in Harrison, Arkansas. I can't remember what the hell his freaking name was right now. You know, I can tell you this was in the late 80s? Late 80s, probably. You know, he lived in Harrison, Arkansas. I've met some of these people. I've met other people. And because I was white, they talked with me. Didn't have a whole lot to talk with them about. But, I mean, I swear to God, it's like, this guy, his children and his grandkids had, like, freaking swastikas tattooed on them. Have I met, really, blatantly, white supremacist, racist people? Yes. But to tell you the truth, you leave them alone and let them live their own lives the way they want to live their lives, they won't screw with anyone. Sam, are you there? Did you mention something?
Oh, yeah, well, Andy's still here, but...
Okay.
Hey, no, listen, Chief. There's only one thing I can say here, is that I am grateful to you for even bringing me on the show. You didn't say, call Alan, I'm going to take the show, bring somebody else on. You brought me on. And I'm very appreciative. And I love his stage because I got a whole lot to say. You already know that. You've talked to me many times. But, hey, love you. Love you mucho. And thank you, Sam, so much for being such a gracious host for us and giving us that time that we actually needed. So appreciate you. Thank you, Alan.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dave.
Andy, I love you. And I will say that as a man talking to a man, and I'm not even a faggot. Okay?
Yeah, I do love Andy. He's one of
folks out there. Andy is one of the people that I talk to quite. You know, you hear him quite often. He calls in, and he probably presents himself better than I do on the radio. You know, doesn't have my learning. You know, if you want to call it going to the get smart place or anything, but you want to talk about common sense and just a good person and what I wish his country was. I gave my number out over the air. You know. Lynn, hopefully I will hear from her sometime. I've got friends that I talk to, you know, in Georgia and in Idaho and in Montana. And Andy's only like 8 hours away in Lubbock, you know. But most of my friends that I talk to are like half a continent away. And that's just sad because my family is dead to me. Y'all are my family. Thank you, Mr. Kopech, for letting me take over your show. And I hope I did you well. I hope I didn't embarrass you. But I am who I am. I'm not a professional broadcaster. I do what I do. I say what I say. I am who I am. And thank you all for being out there. Thank you for listening. Donate to this platform if you like what you hear. Because for me, I'm nothing controlled. I'm here saying what I say. I am who I am. I'm not a professional. I apologize for that sometimes. Thank you, Sam. The show's over. You can hear me again in, 8 hours or so here? We'll be back. Republic of Texas Broadcasting in the morning. And this is Dave Kopech's show, Red Pill Politics. Thank you for listening.
Is good night, folks. Conspiracy? Do shadow hands run democracy? The edge of speak of a lie, shrouded in secrets and mysteries. Bloodlines of history, they sit at the top, counting.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running.